absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Let's go. Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field. Because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud. Make your opponent pay the price. It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last. Bring it all day, every play. Because you know your boys are going to put on the line for you. They got your back, so you better have theirs. This is about the team. It's about pride. It's about who's the hungriest. So what's it going to be, man? You going to leave it on the field, or you going to leave it inside? You going to leave it or something in your tank, or you going to do what champions do? Leave nothing. Leave nothing. Leave nothing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome one more time to 10 a.m. on a fine Sunday morning. It's great football weather where I'm at. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master. And as always, if you're tuning into this, you're tuning into The Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. We're talking week 17 in fantasy and in reality. Playoff scenarios are abundant. That's one of the things that we're going to be talking about before we kick off week 17 in fantasy. And this is going to be a tricky week for the simple reason that the playoff scenario, that's one of the reasons why I'm going to kick it off and talk about the playoff scenario first. Before I actually talk about some players that you should play or that you should look at because of the situation, certain teams that are in the playoffs or on the edge of being in the playoffs are going to play or not play. We also have a chat room. Chat room is for your convenience. As always, like I always say, make a statement, put a comment in there, ask a question. We will address it on air, as we always do. And as we always do, besides me sitting here and spouting off and listening to me, I always have my esteemed co-host, Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman, on the line with me also to also relay that knowledge about week 17 in the NFL. I extend a Merry Christmas or a belated Merry Christmas in person to Mr. Goodman and wishing once again to the show. What's up, my man?
Oh, man, thanks a lot, Jerry. Happy holidays to you and everybody out there. I'm doing real good coming in this morning as a champion. Wanted it all, came up a little bit short, but I think that certainly helped prepare me for next season. Every fantasy season, you learn some new things, and it also is going to help me to be able to give some great advice to owners today. So I'm doing great this morning. At this point for me, my fantasy season is over, so I'm just going to be kicking back, enjoying the last week of football, certainly some meaningful football games out there today.
Well, before we go any further, man, I just wanted to talk one champion to another. Ain't it a good feeling, regardless of how many championships you won, at least you leave this season with one championship for all the hard work and research and whatever else you put into the season, starting from before the preseason. Starting when OTAs, looking at all different players, putting up a plan for your draft and having that come to fruition after you draft, and then making moves during the season to bring you to the point that you're in the playoffs to bring you to the point that you can go away being at least one champion out of whatever amount of leagues that you're in. Tell me, isn't that a good feeling?
Yeah, without question. Certainly it's a great feeling. You know, for me this year, fantasy football, very successful season. I played in three leagues, my family league, my ESPN league, my Yahoo league. Made the playoffs in all three of those leagues. So I was very happy about that. You know, once that you get into the dance, anything is possible.
Right.
And actually, in my ESPN league, Julius Thomas and Calvin Johnson being hurt the majority of the year, and then upon returning, having some games where both of those guys were ineffective, got bounced out of the first round. That one was kind of self-explanatory. The guy that I played against, the 2 weeks that we played, he had Romo, DeMarco Murray, Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, C.J. Anderson. He really had some heavy hitters, so I had to kind of just gracefully bow out because my guys just hadn't performed. I was lucky to make the playoffs the last week of the season. My NFL.com league, the guys just tanked out on me. You know, that's the one that I'm going to advise owners today. A lesson that I kind of learned the hard way is it's extremely difficult to do considering the players who are in your lineup are the ones that got you there. But don't ever be afraid of the waiver wire. Don't let the waiver wire, don't lose sight of the waiver wire, I should say, just because you are in the playoffs last week for me, and hold off on that. Let us make sure we get into the playoffs. But basically, I had my whole lineup not show up last week, and there were a ton of guys who I could have utilized on the waiver wire to help me that particular week. So that was hard. You know, I made it to I was the best team in the regular season, 9-4, second in points scored, only missed that by 22 points. I had scored the most points in the league for three straight weeks. So no matter who I would have played, I would have won. Unfortunately, the guys just did not show up for me. And then in my Yahoo league, that is the league, even though it's not my most coveted league, my family league, that is the league I am the proudest of this year. I started out 0-3 there, got up to a 2-5 start, had to shake off losing Adrian Peterson. Doug Martin was a bust. Those were two out of my first three picks. But as Jerry just mentioned, the hard work got put in there because losing two out of those first seven games, I was able to utilize the waiver wire. And, Jerry, how about my team, after a 2-5 start, ran off eight straight wins to end the season, win the championship last week, in which I knocked off the number one seed. The guy had only lost one game. He was 13-1.
Wow.
Also, Odell Beckham Jr., Jeremy Hill, those guys led the charge for me the last 2 weeks, weeks 15 and 16 in my semifinal and championship round. Those are waiver wire pickups. And then basically that whole team, besides Matt Stafford and Rob Gronkowski and Alfred Morris, that whole team was a waiver wire pickup with the likes of Mark Ingram, Brandon LaFell, Mike Evans. I used Anquan Boldin at different times, Kenny Stills. I ended up with Connor Barth. I ended up using the Rams defense, Arizona's defense. So really that team to me this year really was my most prized possession because I was honestly, Jerry, ready to throw in the towel after a 2-5 start for being a competitor that I am and utilizing the waiver wire. Again, I never look back after week seven at 2-5, eight straight wins to end the season and bring the championship home. So like you said, Jerry, no matter what, coming out a champion certainly makes your fantasy football worth it. And I'm very happy to be here today with you, champion to champion. I was with you last week and had a chance to see you bring in a championship as well. So like you said, it certainly is the most fulfilling feeling. And what it actually does is it lights a fire inside of you that really burns throughout the course of the off season. And it's always the hunger for more. It's always the hunger for more. So as much as I'm happy with that championship, I did lose in the championship game and had some injuries plague me. That is the business that we work in. But very happy to be a champion today. Like you mentioned, the hard work paying off certainly feels good.
I hear you, my man. In my family league, for the first time ever in my family league, since we've been running with family, fantasy football, I am the first back-to-back champion. I'm extremely proud of that. I brought the money home, brought the trophy home, and the distinction of being the top dog two seasons in a row. And just like you said, that hunger burns. I'm hungered to do a three-peat now. I can't wait. And I know the season is just getting over, but to me, because I look at a lot of players, especially in the college football season, especially in the bowl games and leading up to the combines, and then each step before these guys actually get on teams to try to pick out some jewels, just like anybody else, try to pick out some jewels that no one's even heard of or there's not a lot of buzz from that you can pick off and help you win that next championship or help you get into the playoffs and hopefully you get to the championship. So I had a very fulfilling season, but week 17, I am in one championship and ESPN still out there, and I'm money's on the line. And pride is on the line because Victor, which is Victor Gardner, who's the guy who started it all and all these shows, it's his league, and I'm going to try to win this league this week, and I think I have a pretty good shot. But what I wanted to start the show off with this, okay? We may not get to every game, but the majority of the games that have playoff implications, and also for those just like myself who are playing in fantasy for week 17, we want to go over those games. And those games are listed as Jacksonville and Houston, San Diego and KC, Detroit and Green Bay, Cleveland and Baltimore, Dallas and Washington, Carolina and Atlanta, Oakland and Denver, Arizona and San Francisco, St. Louis and Seattle, and Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. If we have time to go over the other games that don't have any playoff implications, we will. But just one current playoff team has nothing to play for heading into the final week of the season, and the Patriots are that team. New England locked up the AFC East in week 15 and secured both a first-round bye and a home field advantage throughout the playoffs in week 16, thanks to a win over the Dolphins and the Jets. The Indianapolis Colts have little to play for, though they have an outside chance of locking up the number 3 seed if the Cincinnati Bengals and the Pittsburgh Steelers play to a tie. Now, Cincinnati's already played to a tie already, so it's not out of the realm that they may do it again. And if the Colts beat the Tennessee Titans, which should happen, okay? There are teams that don't need to do much to lock up high seeds in the bracket. The Broncos can lock up the number 2 seed in the AFC in every scenario except if they lose to the Raiders. Good. Heaven forbid for the Broncos. And the Bengals beat the Steelers. In that case, Cincinnati will take the number 2 seed. Aside from those three teams, there are two spots still up for grabs and a whole lot of seeding still to do in both conferences. And when it comes to the NFC, no seeds are guaranteed. I'll say that again. When it comes to the NFC, no seeds are guaranteed. 4 teams are in the running for the top seed, 5 are in the running for the number 2 seed, and so on. The closest thing we have to guarantees when it comes to seeding, the Dallas Cowboys will earn the number 3 seed at worst and the number 1 seed at best, while either the Carolina Panthers or the Atlanta Falcons will win the 4th seed. Quite naturally, if they win, either one of them wins their division. The other one's out. The other one is the 4th seed. Carolina, like I said, are playing each other for the AFC South crown, while the Cowboys have already locked up the NFC East. There are no wild card spots still up for grabs, and as the only team currently on the outside looking in is Atlanta. But which team ends up is totally up for grabs, where they end up is totally up for grabs. The Seahawks can secure the number 1 seed by beating the St. Louis Rams, but all of the Arizona Cardinals, Detroit Lions and Green Bay Packers can earn it as well. Arizona would need a Seattle loss, a win in their game, and the Lions to beat the Packers. Detroit can get to the top seed if both the Cardinals and Seahawks lose while it wins. Excuse me. Green Bay can get the number one seed if it wins, and Seattle loses. Dallas can get it if the Arizona and Seattle, if Arizona and Seattle loses, while the Lions and Packers play to a tie. Now, that's going to be far-fetched if that happens. At the all four of these teams could also theoretically wind up as number 5 and 6 seeds. More accurately, one of the Seattle or Arizona will get the number 5 seed, while the loser between Green Bay and Detroit will get the number 6 seed. A lot of playoff scenarios, and both the Patriots and Colts have nothing to play for and won't influence any other Sunday game. The top seed, quite naturally, is New England, which means the Broncos and Bengals are fighting for the second first-round bye, and Denver needs a win to secure it, or Cincinnati loss if it loses. Cincinnati needs a win and a Denver loss to get to the number 2 seed. The number 3 seed belongs to the winner of the AFC North, unless the winner is the Bengals, and they benefit from the aforementioned Denver loss to take the number 2 seed. In that case, Denver would take the number 3 seed, and Pittsburgh would take the number 5 seed. The loser of that AFC North matchup will claim the number 5 seed for certain. The number 5 seed is the unclaimed spot, and 4 teams are vying for it. Excuse me. The San Diego Chargers, the Baltimore Ravens, my Houston Texans, and the Kansas City Chiefs. This is a scenario for this. For the Chargers, getting in is as simple. They have to beat the Chiefs. If they do that, they're in regardless. Kansas City gets in if they win, and Baltimore and Houston lose to the Cleveland Browns and the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Ravens get in if they win and the Chargers lose. The Texans get in if they win and the Chargers and the Ravens both lose. Hell of a lot of playoff scenarios, especially in the AFC East. A lot of 11-4 teams in the NFC. Hell of a lot of scenarios in the AFC, and there's a lot of teams in the NFC that are 11-4, 5 to be exact, and it's still vying for playoff positioning. There's a lot of teams that have something to play for, and that's one of the reasons. If you're playing in Week 17 and you have some of those players on that team, we're going to run those down and try to help you get that win for that final week of the regular season before they go into the playoffs. All right, without further ado, if your mind hasn't get fizzled out or burnt from all that, those scenarios and all what I've been talking about, let's get into the matchups and how we see who's going to do their thing this week. First up, my beloved team out of the Houston area, the Houston Texans, hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. Lance, doesn't make a difference to me. I can go either way. Jacksonville, Houston, your choice.
Yeah, I'll Houston on this one. And for fantasy owners out there, you should feel extremely confident with this matchup. I'm talking about Arian Foster and kicker Randy Bullock and the Houston Texans defense led by J.J. Watt. I think those are the guys that you can bank on coming through for you. Looking at DeAndre Hopkins and Andre Johnson, those prospects are completely up in the air depending on how that ball game goes. If we know anything about Jacksonville right now, we know that their defense has certainly played much better the second half of the season. This is a division game, so they are familiar with them. Jaguars, not much to play for, certainly everything on the line for Houston. It's a long shot But the shot is realistic. They need some help. And so without question, if you have Arian Foster, if you have the Texans defense, if you have kicker Randy Bullock, you should feel very confident about your prospects today playing against the Jacksonville Jaguars at home in Houston. I certainly expect for big points out of them. As I mentioned to you, with Case Keenum at quarterback, not quite sure how things are going to work out for Andre Johnson. I had text Jerry. Jerry spoke on Johnson last week. Got to a hot start with 3 catches for 56 yards in about the first 7 minutes of the ball game. After that, 1 catch for 4 yards. So I can't make any promises or guarantees to you there. As for DeAndre Hopkins, after that 238-yard, 2-TD monster day that he had, he's completely fell off the map. I don't think you should expect much from them there. That game is going to have to go a certain type of way in order for those pieces on the outside to make some noise for you. Jerry, what are your thoughts and prospects today for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Well, I have to tell you this, that my Houston Texans are one of the worst teams in preventing fantasy points against wide receivers. So if you're hurting for a wide receiver, and I know this is a reach, but this is week 17, so there's some teams that, like the Colts, and we'll be getting to the, we won't be getting the Colts, but like the Colts, if you have a T.Y. Hilton or someone like that he's coming off an injury, they basically don't have anything to play for, and week 17, most teams will rest their players, especially one that may be coming off an injury. This is one of these teams. I'm talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars. In an ideal situation, playing against my Houston Texans, that you can grab one of these two wide receivers, and even though Blake Bortles is a rookie, he does have a rapport with these two young guys, and they've been I'm talking about Allen Hurns and Marquise Lee. I think these guys are going to get relatively the same type of numbers. And one of them had the real strong chance of going against this one of the worst pass defenses in the league in Houston of getting in the end zone. So I wouldn't hate you. In fact, I've got one of these guys in my championship game because the fact is I have a T.Y. Hilton, and I can't trust T.Y. Hilton to give me any decent game time and any kind of points. And I know he's coming off an injury, so I'm putting him on the bench, and I'm rolling the dice with Allen Hurns. So like Lance and I were talking about, and Lance talked about it earlier, he did his work on the waiver wire. Well, we've been talking to you about all the waiver wire transactions and players you should pick up. And I'm just trying to tell you this. What we talk about, put him into practice ourselves. We don't just spout it just to be spouting. We actually do these things ourselves. And I'm telling you, I'm putting Allen Hurns in my championship round. I'm putting Allen Hurns because I'm rolling the dice, but some points is better than no points. So I like both these guys, Allen Hurns and Marquise Lee. These are pretty big play guys. I'm not going to say they're going to get big plays, but it's open. Let me put it this way. It's an ideal situation going against a pass defense as bad as the Houston Texans. Those are the two guys that I would suggest putting in. And it's a long shot because Toby Gerhardt is dealing with rib injuries, and you don't know how much of a go he's going to get it. He was in and out of the lineup last week, and I like another roll of the dice, and this is a huge, deep roll of the dice. He pulled off a 62-yard touchdown last week. I'm talking about Jordan Todman. If you got you hurt for a running back, you got nothing to lose. Let me put it this way. This is it. Week 17, you have nothing to lose. If one of your running backs on one of these teams that has nothing to play for and you know they're going to be sitting players, especially running back, you got nothing to lose. You roll one of these guys, maybe Jordan Tyman, maybe your choice. All right, let's move on to another matchup. And I've always liked watching this matchup because these two teams don't like each other, dating back to the AFL days. For those who don't know what the AFL is, that's before the National Football League merged with the AFL, which was American Football League. And these two teams were a product of that. San Diego Chargers at the Kansas City Chiefs. Division rivals, they do not like each other at all. And the ball of wax is one goes home and the other one goes to the playoffs. San Diego Chargers, Kansas City Chiefs. Lance, talk to me. Who you got?
I'll take the Kansas Chiefs on this one. And you certainly are expecting a huge day from and a bounce back day from running back Jamaal Charles. He certainly left fantasy owners hanging the last 2 weeks with not over 6 points in back to back games. Certainly not what you expect from your number your first round draft pick, especially considering that he was healthy. And with the news came out of Kansas City late this week that starting quarterback Alex Smith is going to miss this game with a lacerated spleen. Enter into the equation Chase Daniel. I certainly think that he's a guy who's worth a look. I don't think that, again, I'm not quite sure who your starting quarterback is, but I will say this, and the reason why I was having owners so open to the waiver wire is last week in my NFL.com league, I couldn't ask for more favorable matchups, and guys just flat out didn't show up. I had Matt Stafford playing 31st-ranked Bears defense. He came up with 243 yards, two interceptions. That was single digits. DeMarco Murray came out like a warrior. I had the broken hand. Certainly think if he was healthy, he would have been able to produce a lot more for me. He had 11 points. Mark Ingram, the Saints, he only had 10 points, and the bulk of those came on one play, a goal line touchdown. Rob Gronkowski, even though he had a touchdown, 31 points. Kenny Stills, only 68 yards. Calvin Benjamin, only 47 yards. The only guy that was really able to take advantage of the matchup the way that he needed to was Randall Cobb at Tampa Bay. I had Connor Barth. He fluked out at Cincinnati. The Rams defense, a no-show at home against the Giants. My point being is, it's difficult. I don't know how in the world you can have your team carry you this far and then have somebody on the bench and they have a huge game. But if you notice those matchups I told you, they were a lot of division games. And that's something that I noticed coming down the stretch run here, that by the time you get to week 14, 15, and 16, even though these players may have carried you thus far this season, you certainly want to take a look at the waiver wire. There were some guys last week, we're about to talk about San Diego with Jerry, but Eddie Royal and Malcolm Floyd had double digits. A guy like Matt Asiata, who I totally overlooked, failing to realize he was getting a complete workload. He had two touchdowns. You're looking at quarterbacks such as Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Andrew Luck, Matt Stafford, all of your top-ranked quarterbacks, Ben Roethlisberger. Last week, guys like Jimmy Clausen, Sean Hill, Teddy Bridgewater, Derek Carr outperformed these guys. And so, again, I certainly don't want to advise anyone to sit a starter and they had this great game and you feel like you got bad advice or you never should have sat them, but just be open to it. And I think that Chase Daniels is a guy that if you have a quarterback with a tough matchup today, don't be afraid. He did have to play the last game of last season. And if you know about Kansas City, one thing in this football game, they're likely going to have to try to keep up with Phillip Rivers and company. As far as receivers go today, I think Dwayne Bowe could be a solid play. The Chiefs have went all season long without a wide receiver scoring the touchdown. I think that can change today, and I think that Dwayne Bowe can be your guy. I also like tight end Travis Kelce has had a very solid season, and I think Chase Daniel is a guy who's got some NFL experience under his belt. He's mobile. He's actually a little faster than Alex Smith, so maybe if you're in those leagues where you have two quarterbacks, don't be afraid to look at Chase Daniel today. Again, I'm not recommending you start him, but don't be afraid to look at him based on this matchup. This game is at Arrowhead Stadium. The Chiefs do have a chance at the playoffs. Daniel has been there since Andy Reid, so he does have an understanding of that system. But I think without question, The two guys that you want to focus on today is running back Jamaal Charles and the Kansas City kicker, Kyrell Santos. I believe those are the two players who are going to have the most points. Travis Kelce and Dwayne Bowe, I expect for both of those guys to be involved in the passing game, as well as rookie DeAnthony Thomas. We've seen him on a lot of bubble screens, things of that nature. I think that he could factor in today as well. I would not trust Kansas City's defense. That unit completely fell off the map since they got gashed for over 200 yards rushing back when they lost that Thursday night football game against the Oakland Raiders. As for the San Diego Chargers, I think they have the majority of the studs and guys who are producing at a higher level this year. They're the ones who control their own destiny. What can we expect with Phillip Rivers and company today, Jerry? Also, we received news this week that Rivers has been playing with a bulging disc. Could that possibly have any effects on his production or the passing targets for the Chargers today?
Well, before I go into the San Diego Chargers, Lance, I'm just listening to you and I'm smiling because the fact is I've been thinking about Chase Daniels for like the last 2 days. Ever since it was announced that he was going to start for the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's one of the things, if you hadn't mentioned it, I was going to mention it, that I think Chase Daniels, just like you said, thinks he throws for the first time since last season, last November, I think, was the last time that the Kansas City Chiefs had a wide receiver catch a touchdown pass. I'm just chuckling. Great minds think alike, and I just was just smiling the whole time you were talking about that, and because you had taken almost exactly the words right out of my mouth. Anyway, Phillip Rivers, I don't know how long he's been dealing with this, but he has been balling out. Some people have, and I'm gonna have to name Lance as a detractor for Phillip Rivers, but week in and week out. Now every quarterback has a bad week or maybe two, but overall, Phillip Rivers, in my opinion, has been balling out and doing the unexpected when he's expected to do bad. So I don't think anything different here. He threw for 356 yards and four touchdowns last week against the 49ers. And I'm expecting the same thing or close to it this week. Could be simple for the reason that they can't run the football. Brandon Oliver and now Ryan Matthews is out. So it's basically Brandon Oliver and Donald Brown. They can't run the football. So if they can't run the football, they're one-dimensional. They're going to throw the football. Now, their main go-to wide receiver, he's out. He's out. I'm talking about Keenan Allen. He may not be back for the rest of the year because of his shoulder problem. So it falls on Malcolm Floyd. It falls on Dontrell Inman. And it falls on Eddie Royal. Now, who's going to be the man? There's two guys that really come to mind, and Lance alluded to them earlier, of Malcolm Floyd and Eddie Royal. Malcolm Floyd is the big play wide receiver down the field. Eddie Royal is the possession receiver, the guy who catches the passes in the middle. If you need to move the chains, that's Eddie Royal. Quite naturally, Phillip Rivers' BFF for years, ever since Antonio Gates and Phillip Rivers hooked up, is Antonio Gates, quite naturally. So I like Antonio Gates to get into the end zone a couple times. I think he's a viable play here. Like I said, if you don't have a T.Y. Hilton, and it's Malcolm Floyd or Eddie Royal, both these guys Phillip Rivers leans on heavily in the passing game, along with Antonio Gates. I like Eddie Royal more because, in my opinion, he's more reliable. One of these players that Phillip Rivers, like, moves the chains. He can move the chains. It's a boom or bust, in my opinion, with Malcolm Floyd. But that boom can be a huge boom, and that bust can be I lost my championship matchup type of bust. So I like Eddie Royal. I like Antonio Gates. And because I think they're going to be able to move the ball, maybe not get into the end zone as often as they would like, I like Nick Novak. Had a bad week last week, but I think he can bounce back and be effective in this with a couple field goals, two or three field goals, and quite naturally some extra points. But I like Nick Novak also. Let's move on to the next matchup, which is a Cleveland at Baltimore. Now, you got a schizophrenic, and I have to call him that because he is a schizophrenic Joe Flacco, and the Baltimore Ravens, who last week Justin Forsett gave me a stinker and helped me to my one of my championship losses. That was a bad showing with Justin Forsett. But I think they bounced back because of Cleveland and how bad their run defense is. This is another playoff scenario. Baltimore has to win. Cleveland's going to their third quarterback, Connor Shaw, and Josh Gordon got suspended for not participating or showing up for Saturday walkthrough. So it's Andrew Hawkins and Jordan Cameron and company versus Forsett, Joe Flacco, and the Smith brothers. Lance, your choice, Cleveland or Baltimore?
Yeah, I'll take the Cleveland Browns on this one. And you don't want any Browns in your lineup, plain and simple. This team ended the season in shambles. As Jerry alluded to, top playmaker in the passing game, Josh Gordon, is going to be sitting out this game due to violating team rules. Johnny Manziel got fined this week. This Cleveland organization completely has fallen apart here under first-year head coach Mike Patin. They're going with some rookie Shaw at quarterback. This game is being played in Baltimore. Baltimore needs to win in order to have a shot at the playoff. Bad matchup. Baltimore's defense plays very well at home. Whoever the Shaw kid is in that quarterback, likely going to be in for a long day. They're not on the waiver wire, so if you have Terrence West or Isaiah Crowell and you don't have any better options, you have to roll with those guys. They are going to be playing a top 10 run defense against the Ravens. Just does not look like a good matchup. Perhaps maybe Andrew Hawkins or Jordan Cameron can do you some justice today. I think that both of those guys are worth a look if you have some bad matchups. Again, I think that's one of the biggest decisions you have to make as a fantasy football owner is your utilization of the waiver wire in a championship game based on the fact that your lineup at this point in the season, we're week 17, based on the fact that your lineup that you have should have gotten you thus far. And so, again, I don't like any of the Cleveland Browns today. I think this is a game that they get ran over in Baltimore. Maybe the game gets out of hand. And, again, Andrew Hawkins or, Jordan Cameron might be able to do you some justice today. Outside of that, though, I don't think there's much hope for the Cleveland Browns. I think this is a team that is just coming out today. They'll be very glad when that clock reads zero so they can kind of just scrap this season and take a look at what they need to do to try to be a little bit more consistent and competitive next year. Jerry, the Baltimore Ravens are the team that I would assume owners, if any, would have some guys from this team on their championship roster this week. In particular, defense. I know that the quarterback came up, so they looked like a favorable matchup. But these Baltimore Ravens, if one thing we know about them, very inconsistent team, primarily that offense, which kind of puts this team behind the eight ball sometimes. What can we expect from the Baltimore Ravens, a team needing a win, I should say, to have hopes to get into the playoffs today?
The Ravens have to win this game. Like I laid out the scenario, they have to win this game. And going up against a division rival that's down and out and really, just like Lance said, is just going to put the time in but not put the work in to this game. I know the division rivals. I know they don't like each other because of the past history of their owner, Art Modell, moving the then Cleveland Browns to the Baltimore area. But too much skill on the Baltimore Ravens, and too much that Cleveland has to overcome to not see that Baltimore is the better team here. I like Justin Forsett to bounce back big time in this game with over 100 yards. Cleveland's got one of the worst run defenses in the league. They're in the bottom quarter, I guess you'd say, or bottom half of the league against the run. So I think they're going to try to establish a strong running game. That's Gary Kubiak's modus operandi. And then play is over the top. See Joe Flacco getting to both the Smith brothers, with Torrey Smith being the big play guy. I really like Torrey Smith in this game. Cleveland is absolutely horrible against the not horrible. I shouldn't say horrible. Baltimore is absolutely horrible against the pass. Cleveland is about mid-pack against the pass, but I do like Torrey Smith and Steve Smith to get a couple of double-digit points between the both of them. With that being said, let's move on to another matchup that has playoff implications, or seeding implications, I should say. Excuse me. And the Dallas Cowboys, who've clinched the NFC East, going up against a division rival and a hated division rival at the Washington Redskins at FedEx Field in Washington, D.C., in Washington, let me put it that way. Liz, do you want one of your favorite players? And I'm being sarcastic about that. Tony Romo and company? Or you want the RG3 and company?
No problem at all. I'll take the Redskins on this one. This is another team that, really don't know what to expect from them today. Obviously, they'd like to end their season on a good note. The bad news for them is they're playing the Dallas Cowboys team that they already beat once this season in Dallas. That was a major upset. And also the Cowboys have a very strong possibility of getting home field advantage in the first round bye throughout the playoffs if they win this game. I think that spells trouble for Robert Griffin III and this Redskins team, who probably got their Christmas gift last week by knocking off division rival Philadelphia Eagles and eliminating them out of playoff contention. I think what you hope for in this ball game is that, number one, your running back Alfred Morris, this game can stay relatively close so that he can continue to get some carries and be a part of the game. I think the scenario you've seen take place last week against Philadelphia is your best hope that if Washington can keep this game within 10 points heading into the third quarter, that should allow for Morris to get around 15 to 18 carries. He's still a very productive player. That should be at a net a good 60 to 80 yards, and he can find the end zone. You're expecting for this game, presumably, a bit out of hand. At that point, you're just hoping that primarily DeSean Jackson, I believe he should be the only player, really a key part, him and Alfred Morris, the people's championship lineup. The prospects for RG3 here at home, Jordan Reed today. Another guy I'll throw in at you is Roy Helu, if this game possibly gets out of control early. All of those guys will receive some targets today from RG3, especially if this gets to be a blowout, which if you have any of those guys, Roy Helu, if you're expecting him to step in the game, if we're talking about Pierre Garçon and Jordan Reed, you want this game to be a blowout so that it puts RG3 and the Redskins offense in the situation that, again, after Alfred Morris, maybe he's already got you 60, 70 yards and a touchdown. You want the Redskins passing that football as much as possible to try to load up on your stats. We all know that the Dallas Cowboys defense is still very suspect. They play well in spurts. They certainly get off the field at times when they need to, but by no means is this a top 10 or vaunted defense in the NFL. This is more or less a unit that has been able to kind of hide behind how productive and efficient their offense has been all year. So certainly don't be afraid of that today. But again, for these reasons, I wouldn't place a lot of stock. The thing that you do keep in mind, I also wanted to mention that piggy beef off that there, Cleveland Ravens game. Cleveland's pass defense is ranked 7th in the NFL. It is a division game, so we keep there. We know how inconsistent Joe Flacco in that passing game can be. And I certainly think the same could hold true today for the Washington Redskins. They're playing a division rival. Keep in mind, Dallas has revenge on their mind. I would not place a lot of stock inside of outside of two guys who've been able to rely on all season, which has been DeSean Jackson and Alfred Morris. As for those other guys, like I said, Pierre Garçon, Robert Griffin III, Jordan Reed, even Roy Helu, would I be surprised to see those guys have some numbers that are fantasy-worthy this week? I would not be, but would I place stock in it and trust it at this point in the season and what this game means for Dallas? And, again, Washington upsetting them already once the season, I would say no. Obviously, the Dallas Cowboys have the championship-caliber players on their team today. Jerry, talk to us. Division on the line, potentially home field advantage, depending on how the cards shake out in this one. The biggest question, of course, owners want to know, DeMarco Murray's health. I think everybody else want to know, can you trust Tony Romo and these guys? We have seen them have some major breakdowns over the past couple of years in games like this, very meaningful to them lately.
Jerry Jones and head coach Jason Garrett both say that the Cowboys will treat the game as a must win. And I got to take and they will not rest players. And I got to say that I got to believe them. The Cowboys and Washington Redskins do not like each other. They're division rivals. Jason Garrett wants to ensure, along with Jerry Jones, that this team is focused and is on a confident roll. They won the NFC East. Usually teams that have a big high 1 week generally have a low the next week. And I think the mindset, and I keep on saying this, and I've said this more than one person, that this is a different Cowboys team, Cowboys mindset from Jerry Jones on down to the last person on the roster in Cowboys. They have what's going to happen to us next attitude is out the door, meaning that negative attitude, a glass half empty attitude is out the door. There's more talking about the glass is half full. And they're going to come out just like they've come out every week that's been a good week and play well here. I expect Tony Romo, Dez Bryant, DeMarco Murray to go out there, balls to the wall, and play, try to play lights out against their division rival and hated division rival and put the revenge factor in play like Lance talked about and grab the win in Redskins Stadium against their hated rival. So you play DeMarco Murray. In my opinion, if he gives you 60 yards, 60 to 70 yards and a touchdown, you got to be happy with that. I mean, if he gives you 15, 16, 17 points, you got to be happy with that. I know you may be looking for something in a high 20 range or something like that you're used to in points. But at this point, DeMarco Murray is going to give you about 15, 16 fantasy points. I can tell you that right now. About 15, 16 fantasy points in somewhere in that neighborhood. Tony Romo is going to throw for a couple touchdowns. One of them is going to be Jason Witten. The other one is going to be for Dez Bryant. The X factor, if this game becomes a blowout, then those three guys are probably going to sit, maybe even along with Tony Romo. And then you have to hope that Terrence Williams picks up the slack and finishes the game on a high note. But they're going to consider this game a must-win, even though it's the last game, and we really, really don't have a real good shot of getting that number one seed. They're going to try to go out on a positive note lay the wood to the Washington Redskins. All right, let's move on to the next game, that I would like to go to, and that would be the, let's go this way, the Detroit Lions at the Green Bay Packers for the division title. Detroit wins, they win the title. Green Bay wins, they win the title. This is it. Lance, this is a lot of fantasy goodness in here, man. This is one of the better matchups that's going to rack up some points for some people. And you like to see this at the end of the year, especially in Week 17, for those leagues that go to Week 17, because if you have any of these players, you know that they're not going to be sitting them. They're going to be playing them because there's so much on the line. So, Lance, your choice, Detroit and then Green Bay.
Yeah, I'll take the Detroit Lions on this one here. And I tell you one thing is for sure. You certainly are hoping that the trend would change here. But Matthew Stafford, and for what reasons, on God's green earth, I can't explain, he has been terrible the last couple weeks with matchups that are certainly much easier. When you look at home against Minnesota, again, I understand this is the NFL. I understand that this is a division rival. But when you have a defense giving you two turnovers, you have Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate, Reggie Bush, Drake Bell. You know, I'm not quite sure why they don't utilize some of these other receivers that they have. The tight ends seem to have kind of gone by the wayside with Ebron and Fourier and Pettigrew. But you're looking at Matthew Stafford, I can speak from the heart. Last 2 weeks, guy left fantasy owners hanging, and he had one of the most favorable matchups coming into the playoffs with a home game against Minnesota and a road game against the 31st-ranked pass defense of the Chicago Bears. All he could do last week is go out and for the third time in the last 6 weeks come up with no touchdowns whatsoever, got outplayed by Jimmy Clausen. Detroit had 7 trips to the red zone last week. They came out of there with 2 rushing touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 2 field goals, and a failed fourth down. And so you would certainly think that after 2 poor games and with Matt Stafford as we had 1 touchdown pass and 2 interceptions the past 2 weeks against Minnesota and Chicago, you certainly are hoping he's going to break out of that funk this week at Green Bay. But I don't know how you can trust the guy, to be completely honest with you. I think when you look at trends after 2 bad games, I think there's nowhere to go but up in this situation. But keep in mind, when Green Bay and Detroit play, despite all the fireworks that both of these teams have on offense, these are very tough games. Detroit's defense knows they're going to have to keep Aaron Rodgers and company down from lighting up the scoreboard. What you hope for probably is not going to happen. If you recall a couple years ago when backup quarterback Matt Flynn was able to make out a huge payday late in the season when Detroit played Green Bay and it was like a 45-38 shootout. Flynn had 6 TD passes in that game. Stafford had 400 yards, 4 TD. That is what you want to happen. But with a division crowd on the line, if you look at the trouble that Detroit's defense has given Green Bay over the past couple years, it's probably going to be more in the 23-17 type range. And so Matt Stafford, as good of a choice as it looks on paper, very difficult to trust him. But let's put our personal feelings aside. He still does have one of the better offenses in the NFL. Points will need to be scored in this game. And so if you're playing him today, I just think you're playing him reluctantly. You are certainly crossing your fingers and hoping that those 2 bad games that he had, maybe if you had him on the bench, your team was good enough to get by without him. You certainly are praying that he can show up today. Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate, you want those guys always in your lineup. I believe as much as you like those guys, that has been part of Matt Stafford's struggles. He's become so intent on throwing to those 2 guys only, forcing the football into them. He's not looking for other options. But if you have Golden Tate or Calvin Johnson, you are happy to know that those guys do continue to get anywhere from 8 to 10-plus targets a game. Obviously, Johnson receiving more than Tate. Drake Bell and Reggie Bush, I think the workload between those guys now will continue to get split. Bell still more the bell cow, getting the majority of the carries. Tougher runner around the goal line. Bush can certainly get it done out of the backfield. But for both of those guys today, certainly going to be having a tough matchup on their hands playing at Detroit. I do like place kicker Matt Prather, although this game is in Lambeau Field, he's been more inconsistent on the road, kicking outdoors. And then for Detroit's defense, I like them, but I don't like them enough to play from a fantasy standpoint. I certainly think that they can hold Aaron Rodgers and company to 20 to 23 points if Detroit's offense shows up, but I'm not quite sure they're going to get the turnovers to make it worth your while. Jerry, you've got the Packers. Certainly they have one of the most star-studded offenses and guys that you would expect to be playing in championship games this week. The only problem is the last time that we've seen this Green Bay team, and again, it was early in the season, maybe week two or three. The game was at Detroit where the Lions defense stepped it up a notch, but this was a game that Detroit won 17-6. The Lions were able to neutralize Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb. Neither one of those guys scored a touchdown. We know that the Lions had a top-ranked defense in the NFL against the run. Very familiar with Aaron Rodgers and companies from over the years. How concerned should owners of Green Bay Packers studs be today with a division title on the line in a very stingy Detroit Lions defense?
Well, the Green Bay Packers have averaged over 41 points while in Green Bay, while their defense has held almost all the opponents to 24 points or less. They're 7-0 at home. 7-0 at home. Aaron Rodgers has 36 passing scores and has 8 games over 300 passing yards. He's passed for multiple touchdowns in every home game this year and threw for over 300 yards in all but one. There is no doubt in my mind that Aaron Rodgers is going to ball out when it comes to crunch time in this game. The only question I have besides the only question I have, and it's not the wide receivers, because I think the wide receivers are definitely going to get theirs in Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson, is how effective against that stout Detroit defense will Eddie Lacy be. Now, I'm not suggesting you sit Eddie Lacy, far from it. Because this offense is going to put the running game in situations where Eddie Lacy will have a solid chance to get in the end zone. So Aaron Rodgers, no doubt. Eddie Lacy, no doubt. Randall Cobb, he helped me win a championship last week, no doubt. It'll help you win one this week. Jordy Nelson, that's a no-brainer in my opinion. Four guys that, if you've been blessed to have them or more than one of them in your lineup, which I was with Eddie Lacy and Randall Cobb in one of my championship lineups, that you play them this week. This is for all the marbles. Whoever wins this will get a first round bye. Whoever loses this could possibly be the number 6 seed. So I'd go with all of them without even hesitation, in my opinion. And let's move on to another matchup that has winning you're in, losing you're out implications. Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons. Carolina has to win. Oh, both these teams, either one of them, they're losing teams. Either one of them loses, and they go home. The one that wins with a losing record, they'll be the division winner. Lance, good luck with this one, Carolina or Atlanta. Your choice.
Yeah, I'll take Atlanta in this one. And like this Green Bay-Detroit matchup, be careful. That's all I can tell you. It's late in the season. As favorable as these matchups may be, and that's something else that something that maybe got reinforced or I picked up on this year, is that as you come down the stretch run, you have to forget about what statistics you see for these teams over the throughout the course of the year. There's no question. Last week's game, when you looked at the Atlanta Falcons coming in against the run, against the pass, ranked 25th or lower, one of the worst defenses in the NFL, one of the worst teams in the NFL at recording sacks. However, it was playing a fierce division rival, the New Orleans Saints. It was a rivalry game. That rivalry runs very deep and from a long time. Tons of Falcons and Saints fans travel to both locations, load up buses, radio stations. It's a big deal. And so you have to throw stats out the window when it comes to these right. late season division games. A lot of times the scoreboard being lit up is not the case. Teams very familiar with each other, and it's all about being physical in the trenches. Because I have Mark Ingram and Kenny Stills, I watched that Atlanta game last week, and it was a game that Atlanta was able to dominate in the trenches. And I think the same could possibly hold true today. So when I look at this Carolina offense, I've got some reservations. You like Jonathan Stewart. Anytime that he gets the full workload, as we've reinforced to you the past couple weeks, without D'Angelo Williams peeking over his shoulder or cutting into his work, Jonathan Stewart has proved to be a very productive running back as long as he can stay healthy. Right now that is the case. He is healthy, or as healthy as he can possibly be this late in the season, and he's getting a full workload. So Jonathan Stewart is the guy that you like more than anybody. As for Cam Newton and Kelvin Benjamin, I've got major concerns today. The Falcons in that first game held Benjamin in check. He was able to pick up maybe about 60 of his 100 receiving yards, basically late fourth quarter. The last drive, he had two catches for 38 yards. They're going to do everything in their power to eliminate him from hurting them, and I think that they can do that. If you look at the Carolina Panthers offensive line, it has not gotten any better. Over the last 2 weeks, they played the lowly Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are just garbage playing out, and Cleveland's run defense is amongst the worst in the NFL. And so I think that Atlanta is going to be more physical in the trenches in Carolina. If you recall when they played this game in Carolina, Cam Newton had a long day at the office. I don't expect that to change too much. The one guy that I do like is tight end Greg Olsen. I think that he is a matchup problem for the Falcons. I think he's a guy that could fly under the radar. But I don't expect a lot of points to be scored in this ball game, to tell you the honest truth. With that being said, kicker Graham Gano, I think, is a good fit for you. I also think that Carolina's defense has been playing a little bit more motivated, very familiar with Matty Ice and company, although I would think that the Falcons' offense has gotten a little better from the last time they played. All of this adds up to, if you're playing in the Carolina Panthers today, you are rolling the dice. Greg Olsen, Jonathan Stewart, those are the your guys who have the strongest chances of being productive. As for Cam Newton and Kelvin Benjamin, the prospects are there, but I would not put money on those prospects. Jerry, talk to me, the Atlanta Falcons. Huge game here going on down in the Georgia Dome. For fantasy owners who have any of the Falcons players on their team, even perhaps the waiver wire could be of assistance this week. Talk to us about what we can look for from Atlanta today.
Matt Ryan has 28 touchdowns this season, and over 300 yards in each of his last four games. Matt Ryan has been super hot of late, and I don't see, especially playing at home, and this the division title on the line, that he's going to skip a beat. So you play Matt Ryan. You play Julio Jones. You play Roddy White. And Steven Jackson is out. He's not playing. So it's supposedly going to be a mix of Jacquez Rogers and the rookie, Devonta Freeman. Now, out of those two, I think the supposed experts are going with Jacquez Rogers as a more experienced guy and going to get the majority of the carries. I'm going the opposite way. This kid did a lot last week. And I think he can do a little bit again this week. I'm talking about Devonta Freeman. If he's not on anybody's lineup, you're looking for a running back that's got possibility of doing something special. And he's playing at home in his home crowd against a team that's, in my opinion, suspect against the run, even though they may have been playing well of late. But they're suspect against the run, Devonta Freeman. What do you have to lose? The championship? Well, if you're projected to lose anyway, then you might as well throw somebody in there that's got a upside that could be off the charts or a boom or bust type of guy. So you don't really have anything to lose. In my matchup, I was looking for this guy, but unfortunately, he had been taken. But it is what it is. I do like Devonta Freeman over Jacquizz Rodgers, and that may be a reach, but that's how I feel. And those other guys I talked about, Ryan, Roddy White, and Julio Jones, are no-brainers in my opinion in this game. No-brainers. And to go along with that, Matt Bryant, who's been a very extremely good kicker over the whole season in his home stadium in the Dome, is an absolutely lock to get double digits, in my opinion. I there's no doubt about it, he's going to get double digits. This offense is going to put him in position, if they don't move the ball into the end zone, to rack up field goals. Point, in my opinion, the Falcons are going to put some points on the board. In my opinion, I think they're going to put some points on the board and win this game. All right, let's move on to the next one. Another division rival. These are all division rivals. Last week, you know it's all division rivals. That's how the NFL set it up. Let's go with the Oakland Raiders against the Denver Broncos, and everybody's in a panic because they think Peyton Manning is not Peyton Manning of old. This is playing in Denver, and we'll have to wait and see if the number one. Let me put it this way: they want to be the number one seed, okay? So they have to win this game. They don't want to lose against the Raiders. The Raiders are one of the worst teams in the league; only won 3 games all year. They do not want to lose this game. So, Lance, the hapless Raiders or the vaunted Broncos? Who you want?
Yeah, I'll take the Broncos on this one. I think that fantasy owners out there should be thanking the Cincinnati Bengals for knocking off Denver last week. If it were not for Denver, if Denver had not lost that game, they would be resting their starters this week, already having a first-round bye wrapped up and facing reality they're going to have to go out to New England. Since they lost, they will have to play their starters, and they're going to have to play them until this game is well in hand. Because they lost to the Cincinnati Bengals last week, if Denver loses this football game and Cincinnati wins and Cincinnati plays on Sunday Night Football, so it's not a situation where Denver can have that game, which is normally played at 1 o'clock before their game, already know the outcome of that one, they have to play this game. Because if they lose and Cincinnati wins, Cincinnati will hold the tiebreaker, and Denver will be forced to play a wild card game. And so you have to be thankful for that. If you own any of the Denver Broncos, I would expect for them to try to come out and get this game over as soon as possible so they can rest their starters, not only on the offensive side of the football, but on the defensive side of the football. With that being the case, you're playing all of your usual suspects. You certainly expect for Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, one of the top duo in fantasy football this year. You are certainly expecting for those guys to have huge games. C.J. Anderson's going to continue to put in the work on the ground. The enigma in this equation has become Julius Thomas. The guy just simply disappeared off the face of the earth. After 9 touchdowns in his first 5 games, he's got 3 throughout the rest of the course of the NFL season. The ankle injury has hampered him up. Since he's been back in the lineup, Peyton Manning just not utilizing him as much as he used to. It seems like their chemistry, their timing is off. We know that Peyton Manning is a rhythm guy. He likes to get to work in with his players in practice, and with Thomas simply not being available, we've seen that production drop off. So your main guy that you're going to focus on today will produce for you: Peyton Manning, Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, C.J. Anderson. You may want to look towards Juwan Thompson. Again, if this is a game that Denver can get up huge and early, Thompson could get some work today. Again, Denver wanting to get there, start getting their guys as much rest as possible. I think you also like the Denver Broncos defense. If you look at Denver being embarrassed on Monday Night Football, you're certainly expecting this group to rebound in a major way. It's about trends in the NFL. Last week, rookie Derek Carr able to have an outstanding day against the Bills defense. Nobody seen that coming. Latavius Murray was able to stay in the mix. So I think Denver comes out and manhandles the Oakland Raiders in this football game. The Raiders by no means a pushover, but with this game being in Mile High Stadium, Denver needing a win to get a first-round bye. This is an experienced group. You're certainly expecting for those guys to come through the day. Also, kicker Connor Barth, who missed his first field goal of the season last week. You expect for him to rebound. I think Denver wins this one in a major way. Talk to us, Jerry, the Oakland Raiders. A couple guys, I guess, may be of interest, but I think the writing's on the wall. Nevertheless, this is the NFL where we've seen stranger things happen. The question I have for you, Jerry, should owners have any Oakland Raiders in their lineup today?
Well, Derek Carr is through for 20 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. Last time he played the Raiders, he passed for 192 yards, but he threw for 2 touchdowns. But he had 2 interceptions. I wouldn't suggest putting Derek Carr in there as a starting quarterback. But their up-and-coming running back, who I think is going to be a surprise next year, and for those astute fantasy owners, picked him up this year. I do like Latavius Murray in this. I think they're going to try to run the ball early and often as much as they can, as long as they are not too far behind. So that means Latavius Murray is going to get some serious work in here. Double digits, I can see that happening. About 60, 70 yards, and with the chance of an early touchdown. And the reason I say early touchdown, because if Denver gets up, then quite naturally the Raiders will have to go into the passing mode. And if they go into the passing mode, two guys that I see would stand out would be their go-to wide receiver, which would be James Jones, and their, for some, not me, but for some, their surprising tight end, who Denver is one of the weakest in preventing fantasy points in the NFL, is the Denver Broncos, and Mikal Rivera. So I see those guys, at least one of them, James Jones and Mikal Rivera, getting into the end zone, and I see them getting targets, equal opportunity, and that opportunity that these guys will get about 5 or 6 catches and about 50 to 60 yards in yardage, which is pretty good for a tight end in double digits, and a wide receiver 3 in double digits, low double digits in James Jones. But if you add a touchdown, now you're talking close to wide receiver 2. So if you're hurting for, hey, like I said, this is in case that a T.Y. Hilton's not playing or someone of like that because they have nothing to play for. You've been playing Brandon LaFell or something like that or Julian Edelman for some reason, and quite naturally you don't think they're going to play because the Patriots are going to be sitting. Well, then you roll the dice with a James Jones because they should be throwing quite a bit probably late in this game. So that's my thinking there. Let's move on to the next matchup and a divisional matchup, and we go to the Bay Area with Lance's favorite team, talking about the Arizona Cardinals versus the San Francisco 49ers with a lot of turmoil going on, uncertainty of if the coach is going to stay or go. It looks like he may go. Rumors are abounding all over the place. Lance, here we go. Arizona at San Francisco.
Yeah, if you could have just seen my face when you said Lance's favorite team. Yeah, it's San Francisco 49ers. I'll take these guys for the last time this season, thankfully. Don't expect much. The Jim Harbaugh rumors that you heard all season that ripped this locker room apart, one of the deciding factors in that situation, it's already been decided that Harbaugh's not going to be back next year. So I don't expect a group of guys to go out and play for him. You're looking at the 49ers offense, and last week was your best chance. I don't think anybody had him in. But certainly you're not going to get 355 rushing yards today from San Francisco's offense, Colin Kaepernick. I think you can expect the same average play that you've seen all season long. Again, division game, not much to play for here. We all know that these 49er fans, very relaxed, all these rich people in the stands at this new Levi Stadium, they're not trying to cheer this team on. They're there for to make favorable impressions upon each other. Frank Gore, you don't want him in the day against this Arizona's defense. Perhaps the 49ers decide to play for pride. I don't know what reason for. If you're looking at this season, I think they're another team just waiting for the clock to hit zero. They're ready to take these uniforms off and just get to the offseason. So I would not be confident playing any of the 49ers starters on offense today. Of course, Colin Kaepernick, Frank Gore, those are the guys who had the football in their hands the most. So if you have to go with somebody, Gore would be your guy. Again, their Arizona's run defense still very much stingy, division rival, very familiar with what San Francisco likes to do on the offensive side of the football. They have the cornerbacks out there in Arizona who can match up very well. Michael Crabtree has already alluded to, he doesn't know if he's coming back. He's been a disgruntled player all year. Vernon Davis has been an afterthought. Anquan Boldin is the only guy who could possibly show up for you in the passing game. As far as the 49ers defense goes, though, that has been the group that's been reliable all year, despite pretty much a complete makeover. Now, they are going to be playing this game without another linebacker, that being Chris Borland. He's going to be out this game. But I think when you look at Ryan Lindley coming in for Arizona, Cardinals offense is very limited in what they can do. San Francisco defense might be a good play for you at home this week. If your defense has a tough matchup or you are just looking for a defense to play in general, I think if Colin Kaepernick can cut down on the turnovers, if the 49ers don't give Arizona favorable football, favorable position on the football field, I think neither one of these teams score more than 17 to 20 points today unless you have some huge penalties in the end zone or special teams play. With that being said, I think the 49ers defense could be a strong start for your football team today. I don't think there's any question some turnovers could be in the cards for Ryan Lindley, the quarterback for the Cardinals. Jerry, the million-dollar question today, it's been for the last couple weeks. The answer was no in Week 15. The answer was no in Week 16. Should anybody have any Arizona Cardinal offensive players? This is a team that has not scored a touchdown in 2 weeks. Should anybody have any Arizona Cardinals offensive players in their lineup today?
Believe it or not, I'm putting this out here. And he had his best game of the year when he caught 2 scores for 52 yards and 4 receptions back in Week 3 when they played the 49ers. And I'm talking about John Brown. This is a far-reaching. I know there's Larry Fitzgerald. I know there's Michael Floyd. But either one of those guys, especially Fitzgerald, may get pulled from this game and not put up the points that you're expecting. The only guy I can think about is John Brown. He's a big play wide receiver. He can catch the ball and take it to the house and with one play very easily. Plays mainly in the middle. That's why I'm saying that. But like you said, they haven't thrown for a touchdown pass in 2 weeks. And Ryan Lindley is the quarterback, and I think the John Brown is a decent play if you're desperate. And I also think because of the way the offense has been performing, your quarterback Colin Kaepernick hasn't been the most consistent, that the Arizona Cardinals defense is a decent play here because I think this is going to be a somewhat of a defensive game because the inconsistency of the offenses on both sides of the ball, and especially the Arizona Cardinals, I think they're going to be out in the field a lot, and that, in my opinion, causes that there may be a San Francisco turnover or two. So I would have to say that the Arizona defense is a good play along with one guy I can think of, and that's John Brown. All right, let's move on to this should be very interesting. And these two teams don't like each other, and quite naturally they're the division rivals, and they play each other extremely hard, and they're two very physical teams. I'm talking about the St. Louis Rams visiting the Seattle Seahawks in CenturyLink Field later on this afternoon. All right, Lance, you want Sean Hill and company or Russell Wilson and company?
Yeah, I'll take the easy route on this one. I'll take the Rams. You don't want any part of this Rams team this week. Seahawks have an opportunity to win a division, at least get one home game, as Jerry alluded to. A bunch of possible scenarios to work out in this one. So they just need to win. I think they end the season in dominating fashion. I think if nothing else, they wrap up they'll wrap up home field with this win today. Excuse me, not home field. They will wrap up a home game. The tiebreakers, like Jerry mentioned, if Dallas and Seattle wins, those will be your 1 and 2 seeds. Dallas did beat Seattle head-to-head. Seattle also beat Green Bay head-to-head. So if Detroit wins, Dallas wins, and Seattle wins, and at that point, I don't know how that tiebreaker shakes out, but certainly you don't want any part of Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. You want to talk about revenge? Don't forget the St. Louis Rams team did beat Seattle in the Edward Jones Dome, and it was a very controversial play at the end of that game where Trey Mason fumbled. Seattle feel like they recovered. They were around the 50-yard line with the way momentum was going in that one. I don't think there was any question that Seattle could have gotten a field goal range to win that football game. And so if you have Trey Mason, I believe he is the only guy who should be a part of a championship roster unless you use Kenny Britt off the waiver wire. You absolutely do not want any part of the St. Louis Rams offense and their defense last week. Huge letdown, letting the Giants score 37 points on them at a 514 yards of offense. Yeah, they may play a little bit better, but because how Seattle's defense is dominated, it's just caused the opposing defenses to be under too much pressure trying to stop Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch. Every 3 or 4 minutes, they're back on the football field. So you sit every St. Louis Ram out of this one. I think this is a game that Seattle wins and wins very handily. Jerry, talk to me. This still is a division game. Should owners have any worries about Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch?
No. Plain and simple. These two guys are going to ball out in here. Like you said, this is a division game. This is a revenge game. They got a lot to play for this game. It's not like, you know, that they're going to sleepwalk through this game. They know this team well. They know this team that's going to bring it. I mean, you see it, St. Louis Rams, and the Seattle have to be on their game, and they're playing home, and they want to put a showing on going into the playoffs and be able to secure that number one seed and be able to rest for a week before they have to resume the playoffs in their championship run. So you play Russell Wilson. I do have him. Russell Wilson is my quarterback in my last championship matchup, and I expect him to run for a touchdown, and I also expect him to throw for a touchdown. Who he's going to throw to? How about Luke Wilson? Luke Wilson was a beast last week, and St. Louis, even though they're pretty good against tight end, I think they're going to be exploited in the passing game also. That means that these little known, I should little known wide receivers, and Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse, who may miss the game because of a strain, hamstring strain, and that puts into mind Paul Richardson, the rookie, that these guys are going to exploit the number 30th rated pass defense in the St. Louis Rams. So besides running the football, they're going to be throwing the football, and they're going to have guys that are going to be running free in Seattle. And if you're reaching for a wide receiver, I know, if you're reaching for a wide receiver from one of these teams that you've been riding all this week, and one of these guys have been sitting on a waiver wire because, for the most part, Seattle's a running team. Well, this may be the one time you take that person off the waiver wire, the one last time, week 17 and put them into your lineup and hope for the best. Like I said, you have nothing to lose. This is it. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Let me put it that way. All right, let's go to the last game. And last but not least, and I have to believe, Lance, that this game, there's going to be some fireworks in this game. One of my best trios who've been lighting up the scoreboard with fantasy points is in this game, and there's a possibility that it may be the same thing on the other side of the ball. So I'm going to give you your choice. It's the Cincinnati and at Pittsburgh matchup. The winner wins the AFC North. The loser gets a lower seating. Who you got? Cincinnati, or you want Pittsburgh?
I'll take Cincinnati in this ball game. Bengals looking to avenge a 42-21 loss that Pittsburgh gave them in Cincinnati a couple weeks ago. And as far as offense goes for Cincinnati, I think that the blueprint now has been established and set in stone. And so you love rookie running back Jeremy Hill. Was able to clip the 1,000-yard mark last week on the edge of that 85-yard touchdown run that either busted the floodgates wide open or sealed your fate last week in that championship game. Happened double-edged sword for me last week. Hill's 85-yard run essentially put me over the top and put it out of reach in my Yahoo league. But in my NFL.com league, it also put the final nail in the coffin of the outside shot I had there. I think Giovanni Bernard, the thing that has to happen for Cincinnati, this is what makes it so tricky. In seven out of Cincinnati's wins this year, games that they've been able to convert a high percentage of third down, games that their defense have been able to get off the football field. They've been able to average 38 rushes for 174 yards in those games. However, if they don't convert third downs at a high ratio, if their defense is not able to get off the football field, they're not able to run in that high of a volume. And so when you look back at what happened in that first game, that's exactly what happened. And Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard, neither one of those guys able to do a lot because Cincinnati couldn't convert third downs, and their defense was on the football field all day long getting burnt by Ben Roethlisberger and company. So you have to start Jeremy Hill today. Giovanni Bernard, a great flex option at the most, coming out of the backfield, also getting some runs, which you need Cincinnati's offense overall to be productive. A.J. Green will play today. He's a bit banged up with that tricep injury. Mohamed Sanu has become an afterthought since Green has gotten back healthy. Tremaine Gresham is a guy you want to look at. Seems to have been gaining quarterback Andy Dalton's trust, and it seems like he's a little bit more of a motivated player. But at the end of the day, Cincinnati Bengals defense, offense, very risky because it all revolves around what Andy Dalton is going to do. And as much as Hugh Jackson tries to protect Andy Dalton with that running game, the more he passes, the more likely that he's going to make a mistake. So I don't know how confident that you can be considering A.J. Green not 100%. This is a very favorable matchup. We've seen the Steelers' defense get roasted time and time again. But again, division rivalry game, Sunday night football game, division on the line, probably going to be a little bit more physical than anticipated. But looking at how weak Pittsburgh's defense is, you have no choice but to play all of your stuff today. Andy Dalton, I think, is a guy, all things considered. If you need help at the quarterback position, we talked about Chase Daniel against San Diego at home. Talked about Teddy Bridgewater at home against the Chicago Bears. I think those are guys who are more likely candidates. But Andy Dalton, if he can stay away from turnovers, certainly has an opportunity to be productive fantasy football team today. As for kicker Mike Nugent, I think he has a good matchup of today as well. Cincinnati Bengals defense had their day in the sunshine last week. I do not expect them to be able to stop Ben Roethlisberger and company. Too many matchup problems, too many players. Jerry, I'm going to swing it over to you. You took full advantage of this three-head monster this year with Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown. Also, a couple other trinkets in there for Pittsburgh. They seem to have more guaranteed surefire players with top five guys at the main skill position players. Can we expect another big outing and an opportunity for Roethlisberger, Bell, and Antonio Brown to play a major part in helping you bring home a championship today?
just like Aaron Rodgers at home, the Steelers have scored 30 points or more in all but two home games this year. Quite naturally, in Cincinnati, they posted 42 points on Cincinnati. Ben Roethlisberger's pass for 350 yards and three scores on the Bengals in Week 14. The two times Ben threw for six touchdowns was at home. Big Ben loves to play in Heinz Field this year, and his play has shown that. So I expect Big Ben to throw for over 300 yards and a couple touchdowns, one of them being to his favorite target. And one of my jewels in fantasy football is Antonio Brown. The other one is this kid's going to be a dynamic duo, the other half of the dynamic duo in Pittsburgh. And you're getting bits and pieces and tastes of it this year, but he's going to be full-blown out next year, and that's Martavius. He's going to catch a touchdown pass in this. I'm calling those guys definitely going to be catching some balls in the end zone, leading to getting to the end zone, along with the outstanding running against the Cincinnati Bengals, who are at the bottom of the heap in preventing fantasy points to the running back position. I'm talking about Le'Veon Bell. So along with those four guys I just mentioned, Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Martavius Bryant. I also like their kicker, who's been putting up some solid fantasy points the second half of the season. And I'm talking about Sean Sweetsum. So whenever you get an offense that can move the football effectively, and it's at home, even though they may not get into the end zone. And this is another strategy that I've started to incorporate. You have a quarterback that's highly effective at home, all right? Then move the football. Well, why not take that kicker that's on that offense? Because the fact is, they move the football, they may not get into the end zone, but that quarterback is going to get in position to kick field goals. So it took me a while to realize that, but it only makes sense that if you can't get the touchdown, at least you get half of that from the field goal kicker on the same offense. So Sean Sweetsum is definitely one of the best plays in the kickers this week, in my opinion. I see him getting at least three field goals in here, and along with those three touchdowns. So that's solid play from the kicker. With that being said, Lance, before we knock out of here, I want to wish you a happy new year, because I won't talk to you probably tomorrow, and I won't probably get a chance to actually talk to you until next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the master plan, when we start talking about playoffs. And so I want to wish you and yours a happy new year and a safe one at that. And also to tune in tomorrow with Lance and the NFL Explorer with the extra point, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And while he'll talk about what took place over the over the day, there's no Monday night game, so I don't know how much longer the NFL Exporter, Lance Goodman, is going to keep up the extra point, but I'll give him the floor to expound on that and to close the show out. Talk to me, Lance.
Yes, certainly. Thank you very much, Jerry. Same to you and yours. Have a very happy and safe holiday season. And, just to my fantasy owners out there, congratulations. If you already have a championship in tow, like myself, like Jerry, certainly hope the advice, again, that we gave you throughout the course of the year was able to help you be competitive this year. Again, ultimately, as a GM, as an owner, all you can do is put the guys on the field and let the cars fall where they may. I'm quite sure for many people were successful last year, not so well this year. Probably a lot of people out there like me, rough last year, very successful this year. So This thing moves 1 week, one game at a time, one season at a time. Certainly going to have a great show lined up for you tomorrow on the Extra Point. Make sure you're with me, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. With tonight's game, that final game, that is going to wrap up this, the playoffs moving forward. So tomorrow, just going to have a special hour and a half edition for you to end out the season, to just basically recap everything that we've done here on the Master Plan as well as the Extra Point. We'll pretty much just be focusing in on the top 20 players at each position, giving out our awards, looking at the top waiver wire pickups, your top value picks, so on and so forth, pretty much tackling all angles of this 2014-15 fantasy football season. But make sure you join me for that, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here. Other than that, Jerry, I wish you luck today. Anybody else who is playing for a championship today, best of luck to you. Again, don't be afraid of the waiver wire. Evaluate your matchups. And, again, remember, if you've made it thus far, your job is done. All you can do is put the players on the field and let these guys produce. If players play up to their potential, you shouldn't have any worries. The only thing I could take away from it is that these quarterbacks the last couple weeks, they've kind of come up MIA, so you're certainly hoping that, again, last week, when you look at Tom Brady, you look at Aaron Rodgers, you look at Drew Brees, you look at Peyton Manning, you look at Andrew Luck, you look at Matt Stafford, you look at Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, seven out of your top 10 quarterbacks, really the last 2 weeks, really have underachieved. So you're hoping these guys can bounce back in a major way. And just be leery of these division games. That's all I can tell you. It's late in the season. The weather can factor in. Just look behind the numbers. I know last week, that game in Chicago, it was the last game at Soldier Field. I don't know if that had anything to do to play in it. But, again, if you made it thus far, your job is done. Evaluate your matchups. Play your guys with confidence. And I certainly wish everybody best of luck again. Me and Jerry are champions. And as we always tell you, we give you advice that we take ourselves. And with us being champions, we should certainly have some other people out there, especially if you've been with us throughout the course of the season. We should certainly have a lot of other listeners out there who are champions as well. So congratulations to you. Other than that, Jerry, I'm just looking forward to enjoying a great day of football. One thing I can say, double-edged sword here this morning for me since my season's wrapped up, a lot of pressure off. It's been it hasn't been 16 weeks since I've been able to basically kick my feet up and kind of just watch some football without throwing things around the house and getting mad at the players and so on and so forth. A hell of a lot of stress, a hell of a lot of anxiety released off my shoulders. I could just sit back and watch football today. But as I mentioned to you, Jerry, coming away with one championship and just 35 points short of another, having my whole team, Matt Stafford, DeMarco Murray, Mark Ingram, Kenny Stills, Kelvin Benjamin, Randall Cobb, Rob Gronkowski, Rams D, Connor Barth. To see those guys put up a season-low 67 points, it certainly left somewhat of a bitter taste in my mouth. But, again, as an owner, there's nothing else I could do. Again, all of those guys I just named playing the worst defenses statistically in the NFL. They're on teams that are competing for division spots. They're most of these guys in the top 10, in the top 20 at their respective positions. So I had to just kind of walk away from this one and say, you know what, especially considering the last 3 weeks, I would have beat anybody that I played. That's how the cards fell. But winning that championship, it made everything better. So as much as I'm happy to have a week off and really have a season off, the fire burns inside. I cannot wait until we'll be back on the airwaves mid-July, gearing up for next season. I also want to say, Jerry, great job. It's been a joy working with you. I know we'll be back next week, but it's been a joy working with you all season. I certainly hope this was our first year of many to come. And as we have talked about, certainly going to look forward to getting our show syndicated and starting to enjoy monetarily some of the fruits of our labor. On Twitter, NFL Exporter, Facebook.com, NFL Exporter, spelling for both of those, NFL, EXPORTER. Also sending a shout-out to our guy, Victor Gardner, everybody here at FSP, especially the fans, the listeners. You are the ones who make this show a go. Other than that, Jerry, I'll turn it over to you to take us out of here.
All right. I echo the same sentiments as Lance, and it's definitely been a pleasure. I'm so glad that you decided to join the family, and especially me on this show. And yes, I'm looking forward to many years of us being a dynamic duo and laying down our knowledge to help our listeners get to the spot that we want all of them to get to the spot, a champion in fantasy, and enjoying the fruits of what we can give to them. And I want to wish you a happy new year again, and also the listeners out there, tune in next week. Same time, same place, same two guys. Where we lay down some more knowledge for you, and hopefully you have a safe and happy new year. And we are out of here.
Let's go. Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field, because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud. Make your opponent pay the price. It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last, bring it all day, every play.